Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. Now, if you follow this program at all, you know that when I come on, we generally talk about books and or arts and culture in Central Ohio. This is the arts and culture program with some kind of a twist. Today, we're going to talk about three different programs with three different people who offer year-round programs and activities for persons often on, I guess, what you'd call the special needs spectrum. We're talking about children with health concerns. We're talking about autistic people. It is a wide spectrum, but if you're ever wondering what to do in the summertime or really any time along the year with someone who needs some recreation and some activity and maybe some extra TLC, this is the program for you. I'm delighted to welcome Mimi Dane, who is the CEO of Flying Horse Farms, and Mimi will be telling us about that in just a moment. David D. Hudler is Business Development Director for Recreation Unlimited, and Alicia Jean Vandarelli is Director of the Vandarelli Room in Franklinton, and I welcome you all. Thank you for being here today. Alicia Jean Vandarelli, the Vandarelli Room, I read about you in Columbus Alive, and you were working with a young man called Henry Hess, who makes wonderful art, and he is a young man. He's, what, as a teenager?
16.
16 right now. And I met Henry last year when he was making art for the New Albany Symphony and gave a presentation. You would look at his work, his paintings, his visuals, and you wouldn't care anything about him except to say, whoever's doing this has an incredible sense of color and is very, very talented. And then I read that he has been working with you. He is a young man on the autism spectrum and works in the Vandarelli Gallery in Franklinton, the Vandarelli Room in Franklinton, which is where you make art and you make art with others as well. So
correct.
I welcome you.
Yeah.
Now, Mimi Dane, you had a very impressive career as a downtown attorney in these sort of very, very high rent, shall we say, law firms, and left all that to stand in a swimming pool surrounded by children, which is a news piece that I read about you. That was my introduction to you. And I thought, my God, what is she, nuts? And now meeting at you and looking at your face light up when we talk about Flying Horse Farms, it's starting to make sense to me. So first of all, what is Flying Horse Farms?
We are a camp for children with serious illnesses. It's a place where children and their families can come, get a chance to be a child again, all at no cost to the family.
When you say serious illnesses, what is the spectrum of that? You obviously will have medical personnel, I suppose, handy to supervise their care or whatever. Are you talking about terminal illnesses or very serious illnesses, developmental disabilities?
It's a combination of all of those. So we serve children with severe heart disease, including children who have had heart transplants, children with rheumatoid arthritis and gastrointestinal disease, children with all forms of cancer and blood disorders, and children with severe asthma and craniofacial anomalies. Some of our campers are terminal, but they are not necessarily terminal. And many of our campers also, in addition to having the particular medical illness and serious illness, also have a lot of psychosocial issues. So we do serve some children, in addition to having heart disease, some children who might be somewhere on the spectrum of autism as well.
Where is Flying Horse Farms located?
The camp is located in Mount Gilead. It's about 40 minutes from Columbus, right off of 71, exit 151.
And I understand you have year-round programs, is that correct? You're not just a summer camp.
We're not just a summer camp. We have family camps in the spring and in the fall when the whole family can come to camp, and family defines family. So it might be a mom and a dad and a grandma and a grandpa and the woman who lives next door that watches the other children when mom and dad are at the hospital with their child with a serious illness. So family defines family. They come for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they get a chance to experience the joy of camp.
Flying Horse Farms, is this part of the network that was begun by Paul Newman?
The
late actor Paul Newman, right.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And David, tell me about Recreation Unlimited, where it is. You have almost a 60-year anniversary coming up. 60
correct.
Years coming up.
Yes.
Been in business a long time. The late, wonderful, much-loved Jimmy Crumb was very active with you.
Mm-hmm.
And supporter and an advocate for a number of years. Tell me about Recreation Unlimited.
Well, we offer year-round programs for youth and adults with developmental physical disabilities, other health concerns. We do summer camps, summer residential and day camps, as well as respite weekend camps that go during the traditional school year. All told, we'll serve about 1,500 folks with disabilities through our camp programs, and then another 1,500 or so through some of the rental groups that we serve. So all told, we'll serve about 3,200 people.
How big is your campus?
195 acres.
I thought so.
We're in northern Delaware County, right off in between 71 and 23, about exit 140 on 71. Again, about 40-ish minutes from here.
Doable, certainly, within our listening area.
Absolutely.
As well.
Very easy.
Now, Alicia, you have in the Vandarelli room where you're making art, you have one place, you have a location downtown in Franklinton. First of all, what about Franklinton?
It's the happening art scene right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love Franklinton.
How did you hook up with Henry Hess?
I had a studio over at 400 West Rich Street, as did Henry. His parents got him a studio there about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And I was introduced to him. I've worked with the special needs population for a lot of years and was very impressed with his family and with him creatively, and jumped on board, started working with him.
So if I had a child with some kind of a special need, maybe a developmental disability, maybe autism, maybe something else, what benefit would making art have for that child? And how do you reach the kid with the visual?
I think it's really dependent upon the child, whether or not they're interested in art. With Henry, that is where he is.
Right.
He wants to create. He's creating little guys for him to play with. He's creating houses from The Wizard of Oz. He's creating cars. He's building his world. And really, I think providing different materials, different techniques to children kind of will help you discover what process they like. Do they like working with clay more? Do they like working with a pen? Just explore.
Do you see the lights come on?
Yes.
When you work with kids
in
art?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even adults with art.
Sure.
Yeah.
And is there one technique or one discipline within the visual arts? Is it painting? Is it ink? Is it print? Whatever that work, that does one work more effectively than another maybe?
No, I think just exploring all of them is really important. For our camp this year, we had earthworks, we had polymer clay, we had slab clay, we had figure drawing, portrait drawing, and also the kids helped in curating an art show. So, I mean, we did a lot of exploration in 7 days. And I look forward to
it. Tell me about your camp. You have a camp down in Franklinton?
Yes, this was the first year. It's kind of a pilot. I ended up getting a ComFest grant this year. So with the grant, I was able to pay the artists to come and do workshops for some kids. I put flyers out and ended up with five. And I think it was very successful. They ended up connecting and coming out of their shells.
That's hard.
It was incredible.
That's hard. How did you do that? Get them to connect? Or
patience.
How did that happen, really?
Yeah. I think patience and just eagerness and excitement. If everybody's excited about it, you're going to get excited about it.
And I do want to ask each of you, and I want to begin with Mimi, describe, if you could, your journey to where you were, to where you are now, and working with this population. I mean, you left I was going to say her parents must be dying. You left a great career for another great career. But tell me about that journey a little bit.
My journey was pretty simple. I lost a nephew to cancer, and I saw what that process did to my brother and his family and my nephew. And so coming to this work was really a very easy transformation for me. The work that we do itself is so transforming. My former partners that when I left, they got over the fact that I left until they saw me dancing in a pool and having fun with the children, and then they were mad at me all over again.
Why didn't you bring us with you?
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> But it's Flying Horse Farms is a place where the kids who are there are no longer defined by their illness. They're defined by their accomplishment. So at school, they're the kid with cancer, or they're the kid with you know, who's had a heart transplant, and they're defined and they're limited by that, by their peers. And they come to camp and they're just kids. So they're defined as the kid who got a bullseye or the child who's been wheelchair bound all of his life and now is belayed up to a high ropes course and zip lines across a 10-acre lake. That child, we give those children a tools to put in their toolbox, and they can take them with them on the rest of their journey.
You want a fat 60-year-old man? Because I'm ready to sign up right now. I'd fall off the zip line, but I'm willing to try if you say it's okay.
We would accommodate for you.
Okay. And David, Recreation Unlimited is a provocative title in a way. What do you mean by unlimited?
There's no limitations to what the campers get to do while they're on site. We have all the adaptations that are necessary to get everybody in a canoe if they want to do that, to get up our 50-foot tall climbing tower if they want to do that, or to get to whatever level they want to, no matter their physical, developmental disability or health concern. The Alpine Tower, for example, we can hook somebody into a sling and haul them up to whatever level they want to. We have a roller system that we can pull a canoe up onto the dock and transfer them in if they need a Hoyer lift. We have in our arts and crafts building, our creative center, we have a number of adaptive tools. So if people have limited mobility or use of their hands, we have the larger handle brushes so they can hold onto it and paint their own picture. You know, the way we like to say it is, you know, we're going to help them paint their own picture. We're not going to paint the picture for them. And so it's really getting them involved in the activities that are offered in the way they want to be involved.
Tell me a little bit, David, about your own journey. You said you've been with them for 11 years.
Full-time for 11 years.
And you're now the business development director. So
correct.
You're out there selling the organization, mm-hmm. I would think so.
Yes. My main role with the organization is renting the camp to other groups for their own events and programs. I grew up in the Boy Scout program, so I went camping my whole life. I have a physical disability myself since I was 7 years old. And so now I get to help people experience the same joys that I had growing up and going to camp and have them allow them to have that same opportunity in a completely barrier-free environment.
That's interesting. And I'll bet you're one of the success stories, because I imagine there are probably a lot of people who as children were told they couldn't and they did. And, you know, they did it anyway. And now they're running this thing like you are.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. You know, I earned my Eagle Scout and the Boy Scouts and the group that I work with at Recreation Unlimited, my CEO, executive director, and everyone else that works there. You know, we're all very passionate about what we do and the individuals that we serve.
We are talking with three extraordinary people about three extraordinary programs. And today's broadcast, the thrust is to really provide activities, enrichment, and fun for children with special needs. David Huedler is Business Development Director for Recreation Unlimited. Mimi Dane is here. She is CEO of Flying Horse Farms. And Alicia Jean Vandarelli is Director of the Vandarelli Room in Franklinton. We will be back shortly after a break. Don't go away. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We are back with today's edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy with David Huedler. He is the Business Development Director for Recreation Unlimited. Mimi Dane is the CEO of Flying Horse Farms, and Alicia Jean Vandarelli is Director of the Vandarelli Room in Franklinton. Mimi Dane, it's my understanding that Flying Horse Farm does not charge tuition, that there is no cost to the participant, student, the family, whatever. With that information out there, and it's on your website, I would think you're overwhelmed with applications. So, A, who's paying for it? And B, what is the criteria for admittance?
Okay, so
it's an awful thing to say, but I can't think of how to do it better. But go ahead.
So we, as part of the Serious Fun Children's Network that was founded by Paul Newman, Paul required that every camp that joined the network never charge families to come to camp. His view was that if you have a child with a serious illness, that's enough to bear. And so we'd raise money like every other nonprofit through corporate funders, individuals, family foundations. The criteria to come to camp is actually one that most families don't want. Yeah. And that is you have to have a child with a serious illness. So a child has to fall within the disease states that we serve. And then we look at, in making a determination, because we do have waiting lists, can that child go to another camp? You know, a child who's had a heart transplant is not going to be accepted at any other camp because they won't have the medical staff. So during Heart Week, we have physicians from the Cleveland Clinic who volunteer, from Nationwide Children. So we're partners with all of the children's hospitals. So number one is you have to fall within the disease state that we serve. And then we look at what are the additional needs that that camper might have. What are the psychological needs that that camper might have so that we can build a program that makes it possible for that camper to be successful.
When you have a child with an illness, you are, in fact, taking care of the entire family. That just goes with it.
Yes.
Can you talk a bit about that work in terms of Flying Horse Farms?
You're absolutely right. When parents drop off their children at camp, it gives them a week of respite. This last week, we had a mom and dad come to camp. They dropped their daughter off. And I said, what are you going to do this week? And mom looked at me in tears and said, for the first time since my child has been diagnosed, my husband and I are going to celebrate our wedding anniversary as adults. We've never had that opportunity. So it's respite for mom and dad or for single moms, but we also have a siblings camp. So it's for the healthy brothers and sisters get to come to camp for a week because they're often left behind. Their mom has to focus on the other child, and so having camp for those siblings where they're the special children is also vitally important for the whole family.
Is the sibling camp separate from where their sibling is? Are they with people who maybe don't have serious health concerns?
Absolutely.
They just want to be kids like everybody else.
So siblings camp is all the healthy brothers and sisters who come to camp. The child with a serious illness has already been to camp.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so they're not with their brothers and sisters. It's their time to shine and be focused.
You mentioned Heart Week. And then I think you had a special another time. You're sort of segmenting the diagnoses to get it because I'm sure they require different sets of medical skills and you need to get those people in place there.
Absolutely. So we have a full-time medical director, two nursing directors, and a full-time child life specialist to help us analyze and determine who comes to camp. And then because we're partners with all of the children's hospitals in Ohio and with Pittsburgh Children's Hospitals, those doctors and nurses come and volunteer at camp. And it's their chance to see their patients in the arena of life instead of in hospital and clinic.
That's a marvelous point. Thank you for that. I want to let everyone know, if you want to get in the conversation with these three terrific people and their programs, 614-292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Again, if you have questions or comments, 614-292-8513. Now, David, I can see you probably forcing me to get up on that rope. I can sort of see you making it happen. You get a camper who's never been away from home maybe before, maybe mm-hmm. a 9 or 10-year-old child with some kind of illness or disability who may not even understand what it is to be a kid at camp.
Sure,
so what's
sure.
what's that kid's first day or two like?
Well, everyone, when they get to camp, they go through the registration process. We verify all the medical information on the applications that they filled out before they got there. We go through the medications, make sure our nursing staff and the parent or care provider are on the same page with all of that information so that everything is done correctly while they're at camp. We strive to provide the same level of care at camp that they get at home. So we're providing any personal care support in terms of toileting, bathing, feeding, any of that kind of thing that any of the campers may need, we provide that same level at camp. And so it's going through and making sure everyone is on the same page and that level of care is known so that there's nothing that comes up late in the week like, oh, we should have been doing this or we didn't need to be doing that. And so, you know, they get to camp, they'll get registered, they'll go to lunch, and then after lunch we start into the camp process with swimming and then any number of other activities that are on the schedule for the day.
Do kids come back year after year?
The majority of our campers are return campers. We've got one guy at camp that is just checking out today who's been coming longer than the campus itself has been open. The campus opened in 1989. We have photos of him at different camp programs when he was a teenager before that point. So there's a lot of return campers. The nice thing is we do serve both youth and adult. So we've got opportunities for people as they get older with their disability, because there's not as many opportunities once they get out of the school age range.
That when I was putting this program together, my initial thrust was summer stuff. But then you both, looking at your organizations, summer's part of it, but it's not the whole story, right? You're open year round. What do you do in the winter? What do you do in the fall? What
we do a lot of the same activities. We've got 25 buildings that we have plenty of space to do different activities in. So we can do a lot of the same activities in the winter that we can during the summer, with the exception of aquatic-based activities. We have the ability to set up an archery range in our gym. We have a 24-foot climbing wall in the gym. So we have all those activities. Obviously, sports are very easy to do. The Creative Center, the arts and crafts programs, you know, those are easily indoor or outdoor depending on the weather. If the weather's cooperative, we'll go outside and we'll sled. We'll make snowmen. We'll do the same types of things that typically developing kids get to do. We'll just do them at camp.
Now, you said also you serve adults. Mm-hmm. That's a different kettle of fish, I would think, than dealing with children. What would an adult find if they came to you?
It's actually surprisingly similar. You know, there's some programs that are tailored specifically for the age ranges, but the folks that we serve, there's a good number of folks that are on that have a developmental disability or a cognitive delay. And so the developmental age may not be the same as the physical age. So there's some range there that we program to and make those adaptations to.
And Alicia, your summer programs at the Vandarelli Room in Franklinton, you just had your first year. It was financed by a grant from ComFest. So, you know, the old saw is that if you have five kids in the room with autism, what you have is five kids in the room with autism. You don't have one sort of disability, if you want to use that word, with five children. So what was the first session like?
Well, let me make a correction, because not all five children had autism. It's a mixture.
Generation. Right.
Yeah. I would say shyness is probably like, you know, the kids weren't as boisterous as they could have been, like at the very beginning, because we're all nervous and we're all creatives. All of the children who participated in the program are interested in art. This is like their focus. This is where they want to go. So it's really a stepping stone for them to build their creative network is the purpose.
But they're meeting you, and you're a professional artist, mm-hmm. and they will know that. And that could be a little bit intimidating. So what is your role in the first day or two in getting them to just sit down and make art and have some fun?
Because I'm sitting down and making art and having fun. Lead by example, I would say.
How did you think about having a summer program? What was behind that?
Henry Hess was behind that. I working with him and for almost 2 years, he's spent a lot of time around professional artists, listening to professional artists talk about professional things. And it just seemed boring to me. Like if I was at the time he was 15, if I was a 15-year-old child, I would not want to hang out with a bunch of 40-year-olds talking about, oh, I got this job.
I wouldn't either. And I'm not.
Oh, I'm applying for this grant. You know, it's boring. So Walter Herman and I had a conversation, several conversations actually, about building Henry's creative network and how important it is to build a peer group. So we networked with some other local artists that have children within the same age range, invited them over just to hang out. And that's how, you know, and then it's like, well, we could do this. We could actually have like a summer workshop, you know, camp per se, and work on that, like have all of the children really build their creative network.
We are talking about programs and activities not limited to the summer, but certainly including the summer for children and adults on all kinds of different, I guess, special spectrums. And if you have a comment or a question, 614-292-8513, or send us an email at allsides@wosu. We have a call from Jackie in Canal, Winchester. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, this is Jackie Marion Mimi. I'm calling to give a word of praise for all the wonderful volunteers that you have that come in there that do so many things that make camp possible. And actually, my brother-in-law is flying in this afternoon from Vancouver, Washington. He is a nurse, has, I think, been up there for 4 years, and is coming for 2 weeks this year.
Jackie, what do you do there?
What do I do in Flying Horse?
Yes.
You know, I don't work there now, but I started originally there and helped set up the volunteer program. That's why I'm so proud of that whole group of people that do such a wonderful job.
Well, Jackie, we thank you for that, and I thank you very much for the call. 614-292-8513. Your volunteers do love you, Mimi.
They do. Last year, we had over 1,800 volunteers that represented close to 41,000 hours of volunteer work. Jackie did start that program, but it has grown exponentially, and we couldn't run camp without our volunteer network.
David, what do volunteers do for you at Recreation Unlimited?
We have a number of organizations that come out and will do grounds work. They'll do, we've got an organization in Delaware, the Greif Companies. They actually will come out and do a week's worth of volunteer work. So the employees will come out one day during the week, so we'll have them out all week. Some of them will do facility work. Some of them will be camper buddies. The nice thing with that is the Greif Corporation is actually paying for a week of camp for, you know, a certain number of kids. I think it's 24, 25 kids to come out. So the kids get to come completely free, and then their employees get to see the benefit of that donation and work with the campers and work with the facilities and help with that respect. We also have a number of organizations that come out and do, you know, team building based things. So they'll come out and they'll do grounds work together. They'll have lunch together and they'll do a team building program with us, or they'll have a company meeting. The nice thing about that is it's an outside venue. So it's a neutral ground for everyone. So it allows them to kind of relax and get to know people in the organization that they may not know real well.
Here's something I want to throw out to each of you. I have been using, because I'm lazy and I think a little stupid, the term special needs, children or adults. I really want to get away from that, and I'm not quite sure how to do it while really describing what it is, what population you all are serving. Can somebody help? Throw me a bone here, maybe.
Sure. So in our mission, we talk about serving children and families, and we always define them as children first, and then they have a serious illness, as opposed to seriously ill children. There's a difference. So I think it can be children or families with serious illnesses or special needs, but it's critically important to always focus on the child or the family first, to move away from that definition and having them be defined by their illness.
I think Unlimited in your title kind of helps that.
Absolutely.
David. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the mission of what we do. We provide recreational, social, and educational opportunities for individuals of any ability type. Going on what Mimi just talked about, you know, it's all part of the training for our seasonal staff is person first language. You always talk about the person before you talk about the disability or the equipment they're using. So, you know, it's not an autistic kid. It's a child with autism. It's not someone who's, you know, it's not a handicapped parking spot. It's accessible parking. The parking spot itself isn't handicapped. It's accessible parking for someone who has a disability.
I'm just a person who happens to have I can do everything anybody else can except I can't see, or something like that. I've had that said to me a few times.
Sure.
And that gave me some very good perspective as well. And we have a call from Sylvia in Mount Gilead. Good morning, Sylvia. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for having this program. It's going to open the eyes of a lot of people. We're just so grateful to everybody at Rec Unlimited. Our daughter, Melissa, has gone there for years. She's even starting to know how to fill out the application form, with a little help, obviously. But she's so excited to go. She has friends that she has made through that organization. She writes letters after she's home from camp. It's just enabled her to do so many more things than we ever thought possible. Thank you.
Sylvia, David is blushing, and I'm getting weepy. So thank you so much for that call. We appreciate that very much. 614-292-8513, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. If you have questions as to how a child in your life or an adult in your life might benefit from participating in one of these programs, let us know that. We have the experts here. Mimi Dane is the CEO of Flying Horse Farms. We have David D. Hudler, who is Business Development Director for Recreation Unlimited, and Alicia Jean Vandarelli is the director of the Vandarelli Room in Franklinton. So you had your first camp this year, Alicia, is that correct?
Correct.
What about next year? What did you learn from the first year? What would you like to do? What worked, what didn't work?
I think I need more money to run the program. I think...
find her on Facebook,
was,
folks.
Yeah. It was very enlightening experience. All of the kids participated, which was great. I think the unexpected amazing was lunches. My brother, who cooks, started. He was like, well, what if we do, you know, like I have all the kids in the kitchen and we prep. Like, that's great. So then they got like a cooking lesson too, which was completely unexpected. So Henry Hess is cutting up the bananas. Everybody's making smoothies. Everybody's cooking pizza, making pizza. It was incredible. That was the unexpected little gem.
Next time you do this, invite me to lunch, okay?
I will.
We'll do a remote then. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So you're now, did the participants make different kinds of art? Did they want to use different forms, different tools?
I was pretty rigid in the process, as were the artists that came to do the workshops. They brought the supplies, said, this is a way to do it. We weren't certainly limited saying this is the only way, but, you know, this is how you do it. And I forced the children to get outside of the box. I did the figure drawing and figure painting. That's my thing. So I force them into different processes just to try it out to see and then go back to what they were comfortable with. So it wasn't like I held their hand down or anything, but, you know.
If you are someone who needs some wonderful programs for a child or an adult in your life, this is a good program for you. We're going to be back in 1 minute to finish up today's edition of All Sides Weekend. Don't go away. We are back for the final segment of today's All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. We are talking about programs in Central Ohio that are service to people who need programs, who need these programs. Mimi Dane is the CEO of Flying Horse Farms, which is located in?
Mount Gilead.
David D. Hudler is Business Development Director for Recreation Unlimited, located in?
Ashley, Ohio.
And Alicia Jean Vandarelli, I know where you are. You're in Franklinton, the Director of the Vandarelli Room. We were talking a bit off mic about just what the day-to-day life is for people who run these organizations and what you have to think about. And Mimi, you said, I may have 40 different dietary needs in a one-week period.
Yes,
how
absolutely.
Do you accommodate that?
We get together as a team and talk about each camper, their illness, their allergies, their food issues, and put together a program. So next week, we have children with rheumatoid arthritis and gastrointestinal disease. So the whole camp is gluten-free for the week. And then our food service director and her team, which is in part with a program with the Ohio State School of Medicine, will prepare all of the special diets for the campers. So we have kids who are soy-free or dairy-free. We have one child who is on the spectrum and will only eat Dannon strawberry yogurt.
Oh,
not
I've
any
been
other
there,
kind
yeah.
of yeah, but Dannon. And so
how do you jazz that up?
we know that, and we talk with the parents, and we just put the team together to accommodate them.
And get
so
a big case of strawberry yogurt and
yes.
put it in the overdraft. And David, you were talking about even groundswork has an issue. You can't just mow the lawn.
Absolutely. Mimi was talking about this as well. There's certain folks with, you know, asthma that if they're around fresh grass, there's going to be some breathing issues. So you have to be mindful of that kind of thing with anybody.
And Alicia, thank God for your brother in pizza and chopping vegetables in terms of making great art. We have a call from Franklinton from Wolf. Hello, Wolf. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to start by just saying thank you to everybody for everything that they do. I've met Henry and seen what a lot of your participants are able to do for the greater community. So first, thank you. My question was, how can organizations and events and other things in Columbus better incorporate or make available opportunities to include your participants in what we do?
In what you do in terms of?
Throwing festivals and events throughout the city.
Okay, I'm not quite sure I understand. Just you want the events that you run or that any of us would like to be, make sure that they're completely accessible to everybody who wants to participate. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Very good. We'll let you take that off the air. Yeah, do we have an accessibility problem in Central Ohio, in Columbus, in a city, in fact?
Some of the things that I've seen, just because I have a physical disability myself, it's a little more real for me than someone else maybe. There are some festivals that happen and the facilities that they're at are grass or it's gravel. Well, that's not always easy for me to traverse through. And especially if it's rained, you know, wet rain or wet grass and mud makes it really hard to push a wheelchair through. At the same time, restrooms. Everybody's, hey, look, there's porta-johns. Great. But if the porta-johns only have a 2-foot door, well, my wheelchair is 3 feet and I need a little more room inside to turn around. So, you know, it's little things like that people don't always think about. The majority of the events and festivals I've been to, though, they're pretty good about taking care of that kind of thing.
Hopefully they're pretty good and they're getting better, because I think what you do is educating people to that other side of the street, as it were.
I think in Franklinton, I think that there should be a focus more on the sidewalks and making sure that they are clean and the debris, like the holes, and should be filled. I notice that's an issue just, you know, with people that I hang out with that are in chairs. So,
and tell me a little bit more about the Vandarelli room. You call it the room rather than the gallery, I noticed.
Because it's a relaxing environment. You know, it's an alternative gallery space. There's furniture, bookshelves. It's a relaxing environment that you could sit down and sit with your laptop and do some work and hang out. Or
do people come? I mean, can you come there and hang out? I mean,
you're always welcome.
Or is it your private workspace? How does that?
It is my private. You know, I work in the space as well. But you know, I spend a lot of time sitting outside and doing work outside, and a lot of people come through and ask if they can sit and work, and that's absolutely fine.
And are you going to do the camp again next year?
I am.
Yeah, tell me about that. What's in the planning for that?
Well, we just finished it like last week. So I'm still processing everything just to figure out how to make it better. I'd like to make it longer. I'd obviously like a few more kids to participate. We were slotted for 12, ended up with 5. I think that's a great number.
For a first time?
Yeah,
sure.
For a first time. And even 5 is good, really. And I think anybody could really do that if they had the time. They could open up to 5 kids.
Well, who would be interested? Who would come to you and want to participate?
I think children 13 to 20. So 20 is like the last year of high school, right, for a lot of kids. So I want that age range, and I want them to find art appealing. I want it more than just like something they just kind of, we do this, we make art. But I want it to be like passion, like you have a passion for art is kind of, you know, because I really want to teach the skills that we need as adults to become successful artists. You know, what are the different types of jobs we can have as creatives that will help us feel success?
But what kind of a challenge or what kind of a wall do you have to leap over to get maybe somebody on the autism spectrum who is not the most personable person in the world?
A lot of artists aren't personable.
Well, you are.
Yeah.
You're charming. I
mean,
I know a lot of them are.
You know, I mean, I think that's what's so unique about the program, or at least what I saw. Like, we had a couple typically developing children, and we all tend to be outcasts, like the creatives. We're made fun of
weird.
And poked.
We're just good. But
what's
only
amazing,
we know that,
yeah, is that we're all weird together, which is great. You know, whether you are a kid who is a creative with autism or you are not, like, we're all like a little wacky.
Would they follow up? Do you envision the time when one of your students leaves camp? Camp is over. They go back to what they do. But they may come back and visit with you while you're sitting outside working with some work of their own. And you would sit and look at it with them and go over it. Do you think
that's
going to happen?
Oh, yeah. I know that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you need more money, to get going. And you have a wonderful space to maintain. Where is your space, by the way?
I'm on the corner of Rich Street and McDowell Street, okay, right in Franklinton. It's about a block and a half west of 400 West Rich Street. So it's right over the river, on the same side of the river that Cosi's on, is where we are.
If you're looking for programs for children with all kinds of different needs, be they medical, be they developmental, 614-292-8513 is the number to call right now on today's All Sides Weekend. We can also take an email from you at allsides@wosu.org. Now, Mimi, as the CEO of this organization, what is your day-to-day life like? When do you sleep? Assuming you don't sleep, what are you doing all day to keep this up and running?
It's a variety of things. I mean, one big part of my job is to raise money so that we can continue to operate camp and grow camp and serve more children. When camp is in session, I try to be there because seeing those kids and those families is – you know, it's how we get our stories. It's why I left the law practice to do the work that I'm doing. It's meeting with volunteers. It's doing programs like this. No day is the same. This morning in the parking lot, I was on a conference call with our friends from Abercrombie and Fitch. They are a huge supporter of Flying Horse Farms. And we were talking about the ANF challenge that will be in September to benefit Flying Horse Farms. So I'll have calls like that. When I practice law on casual days, I would have a suit in the back of my door just in case I had to go to the courtroom. Now, at the back of my door in my office, I have a tutu for when I go into camp.
Whoa!
So, it's great.
Very great.
You know, I don't have to wear grown-up clothes anymore. And it's just it's a real shift in perspective.
Not that we aren't clothes optional. I just want to make that clear. but cash is good, you know. Comfort is good. Cash is good. So you've made a career out of this, as have you, David. You've made
Correct.
A career out of this work. Let's talk about that a little bit. Is there room for career development? Is there room for a person maybe in college now thinking, I may get a special ed degree or I may get a psych degree, but that's fine. But really, I mean, are there more opportunities for someone to make a life doing this work with kids and adults in maybe in a rural setting, a
sure.
year-round setting?
We have a number of our program team, our full-time team, and our seasonal folks that have gone into special ed or physical therapy, occupational therapy, one of those related fields. Two of our full-time program staff are former special education teachers. And they realized that that's the population they want to serve, but school wasn't the right setting for them. And so they are now full-time employees for us, and this is their career.
And you mentioned, Alicia, at the beginning of the program that you had a background working, I guess, in special ed. Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, I did not go to school. I have a fine arts degree from Columbus College of Art and Design. However, growing up, my uncle had muscular dystrophy and schizophrenia, so I was raised with a very sensitive.
You were sensitized early,
yes.
Yeah.
And then in the 90s, I worked in a group home with three children who had autism, and then I've also worked with adults doing home care. So I love helping.
Well, what are the I use the term special needs, and I'm trying to find a better one. But what are the needs of the special needs community? What do they need from us?
They need us to talk directly to them instead of to the person that's helping them. They need eye contact. They need to be treated just like everybody else because that's exactly who they are, you know, and you know, I mean, I'm very passionate about that. It's one of the most frustrating things is to be in public and have somebody direct a question to me that should clearly be directed to the person I'm just helping.
That's right.
You know, they're the adult. I'm just, you know, everybody needs a little help. So.
And again, I want to make sure everybody understands in the limited time we have left the range of activities offered at each of your organizations. Flying Horse Farms is not equine therapy. Oh, we love equine therapy. We think it's wonderful. But Flying Horse Farms is something different. What is the range of what's available?
So we have archery, boating, fishing, a high ropes course, a zip line, arts and crafts, canoeing. We have anything that you would imagine at a typical camp. We have those activities at Flying Horse Farms, but we also have a hospital.
Really?
So it's our, we call it our well nest as opposed to a hospital. But so we have those places where kids, if they do become ill at camp, they can be treated.
And stay there and still be at camp somewhat. And again, I want to make sure people understand that families, you accommodate whole families when they come to visit you.
We do.
But mom and dad might not want to be on a zip line. So they can sit in their rocking chairs and just sort of be parents or be adults for a little while. That's
all of our programming is focused on challenge by choice. So we won't open a program area unless we know everyone can participate. So on the high ropes course, we have special harnesses for our kids with hemophilia so that they can go on the ropes course and be safe. And we want to take kids as close to their panic zone as possible. So we give them tools to put in their toolbox to be able to deal with whatever they need and be empowered. But we never want them to cross that. So if a kid successfully climbs up the cargo net and gets to the top of the high ropes course but does nothing else, that's celebrated at camp and cheered by his fellow campers. And if we need to take him down, that's fine. But he's tried it. And that's the focus of our programming. It's challenge by choice. The pool is a zero entry pool. So if you're in a wheelchair, you can wheel right in. We have floating wheelchairs, but you don't have to go in if you don't want to.
David, how do you find a kid's panic zone? That's a very interesting concept. I hadn't heard it before.
The coolest thing for us to that point is, you know, when someone is climbing, you'll see somebody and they get to a certain level and you see their leg involuntarily twitching because the muscle is just so tense, they don't know what they're going to do next. That's the cool spot because they've pushed themselves to get to someplace they didn't necessarily think they could get to. And that's the same type of thing that we do with all of the programs. We encourage people to push themselves a little beyond what they think they're comfortable with so that they get to experience that challenge. Same type of philosophy with Flying Horse Farms. We're challenged by choice. We're not going to force anyone to do it. But we do all the traditional camp activities and then adapt them to each individual's specific needs.
And Alicia, when you have a young person making art with you and you hadn't known that person before, they're new to you, they're in your camp or your special programs, what do you learn about that person from the art that they make?
Well, that we're all very shy about right. what we make and guarded. You know, and I think that throughout what I realized, like with the kids this year, is toward the end of it, when I asked to see the picture or whatever they drew, they were less apprehensive, you know, because I'm not judging. Like nobody's judging. We don't judge each other, you know. Initially, you feel so guarded because you don't want somebody to think that you're doing a bad job. So,
but are you also. There is a discipline to making art. I mean, there are things that you really sort of have to do. Mm-hmm. And are you trying to work with that when you work
with these kids? The workshops, we want to show the proper process of a material. But it's really up to the child or the artist how they want to apply that process, you know. So you just show them, give them the tools, and see what happens. And then make suggestions as you're going along. Well, you can try this. This is another option. So
So you have a little structure and a lot of creativity.
Exactly.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And you have also panic zones, and I've found mine a long time ago when you were just describing a zip line. But anyway, I thank you all so much for a wonderful program. Alicia Jean Vandarelli, director of the Vandarelli Room in Franklinton. You are on Facebook. You're easy to find out more about. David D. Hudler is business development director for Recreation Unlimited. Thank you for all you do. I'd be scared to death with you up in the zip line, but you might be able to get me up there. And Mimi Dane is the CEO of Flying Horse Farms. Thank you all very much for everything you do. Our producer for All Sides is Michael DeBonis, associate producer Amy Jurevich, assistant producer Shyla Knott. The All Sides interns are Summer Cartwright, Vaughn Hunt, Sydney Schaefer, and John Schlichting, with video production by Rich Kartsmitsky and Amber Kartsmitsky. Thank you especially to Shyla Knott. I'm Christopher Purdy for All Sides Weekend. Thank you to my guests. Good afternoon.